Good evening, and welcome to Midnight Audio Theater, a weekly program bringing you new and original audio dramas, be they adventure, mystery, sci-fi, or comedy. I'm your host, Happy Renella. Welcome back, audio drama fans. We've got some exciting stuff for you tonight. First, we're leading off the show with more tales from 2 Minute Danger Theater, followed by the continuation of the Byron Chronicles and Twin Stars. And at the end of our show, we'll be announcing the winner of our summer script writing competition. But first, sit back and enjoy an extra large helping of the Blastoff Patrol.
Chow's of the year 1999 with Space Commander Cosmo Ranger and Cadet Nancy, members of the
Blastoff Patrol!
At the beginning of today's exciting adventure, we join Professor Zirklov in his lab on Earth.
Hey, Professor Zirklov.
Hello, Jimmy. I see you brought your pet lizard with you like I asked. What's his name?
Mr. Scaly.
How would you like Mr. Scaly to help us out with today's experiment?
That'd be great.
Now, let me take him out of his cage. Yes, hello there, Mr. Scaly. In today's experiment, you're going to learn about DNA.
DNA?
Yes. DNA are the building blocks of life. If even a small part of someone's DNA is changed, they would be entirely different. Which is why I've put Mr. Scaly in what I call a gene splicer. Let me activate it. Now, I'm going to drop in some alien DNA that we found on a distant asteroid. Even our best scientists don't know what it is. This is where things will get interesting.
Professor Zirklov, what is it?
Why, it's Mr. Scaly, of course. Or rather, it isn't. You see, by adding the DNA, we have created an entirely new species. And I'm going to let you name it. Commander Ranger and Cadet Nancy.
Evening, Professor.
Jimmy, why don't you run along with your new friend?
It's got some kind of tentacle stuck in my neck. I think it's laying eggs.
I said run along, Jimmy.
So, Professor, you said you wanted to show us a new invention?
Yeah, I will demonstrate it for you now. Nancy, please stand still.
You evaporated Nancy with that weapon, you murderous fiend.
Has the Professor turned traitor? Here's a preview of the next exciting chapter of
Blast Off Patrol!
By using this time machine, I can travel back to just before Nancy was murdered.
Nancy, please stand still.
You evaporated Nancy with that weapon, you murderous fiend.
2 Minute Danger Theater is written and produced by MJ Butler, starring Curtis Eames, Ryan Thomas Johnson, Don Westlake, and me. I'm as tall as this radio. Chow's of the year 1999 with Space Commander Cosmo Ranger and Cadet Nancy, members of the
Blast Off Patrol!
In the continuation of our exciting story, Ranger and Nancy are in the professor's lab on Earth when...
Nancy, if you would please stand still for a moment.
You evaporated Nancy with that weapon, you murderous fiend.
Try calling Nancy with your space phone.
Come in, Nancy.
I'm here, sir.
Professor, I've somehow managed to communicate with the other side. Nancy, what's it like there?
I'm in the rocket ship.
Of course. True soldier that he is, Nancy's version of heaven would look like a rocket ship.
Let me explain. This device is what I call a teleporter. It can instantly transport a person or object from one place to another.
Fascinating, Professor. I'm sure Nancy would also have found it fascinating if you hadn't murdered him.
Let me bring him back.
Oh, I see. Welcome back, Nancy.
Thank you, sir.
It's certainly an interesting toy, Professor, but it doesn't have much practical value. What's this here?
Ah, yes. This is a watch, gentlemen, but like no watch you've ever seen. Instead of having to wind it every day, it is powered by a battery, and the time itself is displayed for you on a screen. I call it a digital watch.
Nancy, make a note of where you are, because you're going to want to tell your children about this day. For this day marks the beginning of a technological evolution. With this digital watch, we truly are living in the future. Go ahead, Captain.
I need you and Nancy to report to my office immediately.
Understood. We'll be right there. Professor, I want you and your team to work around the clock exploring military uses for this new watch technology.
We'll get right on it. Oh, and let me help you and Nancy get to the Captain's office. Wow, Commander! We materialized right into the Captain's office!
Look, Nancy, if you press this button, the watch lights up.
Gentlemen, the situation is serious. We've lost all contact with our moon colony.
What is this moon you speak of?
Please, not now. The colony hasn't responded to any radio communication for over 24 hours. I fear the worst.
Oh no! What could possibly have happened to the moon colony? Find out in the next exciting chapter of
Blast Off Patrol!
2 Minute Danger Theater is written and produced by MJ Butler, starring George Barker Barrett III, Curtis Eames, Ryan Thomas Johnson, and me, I like to watch. Chow's of the year 1999 with Space Commander Cosmo Ranger and Cadet Nancy, members of the
Blast Off Patrol!
As our story continues, Earth has lost all contact with its moon colony. Ranger and Nancy are flying to the moon to investigate.
We're entering the moon's orbit.
Everything looks peaceful. And look, they've expanded the colony by building some additional houses, and missile-shaped ones at that. Interesting design.
Sir, I think those really are missiles. At least 1,000 of them, and they're aimed at the Earth!
Then the situation is far graver than the captain feared.
You mean...
Yes, Nancy. We have a renegade colony on our hands. Get out the blasters, and call the captain to get the master code for the colony doors. We'll need them to get into the main habitat undetected.
I'll have the door open in a second, sir.
Careful.
I've got it, sir.
Great work, Nancy. Now that we've opened the door to the rocket ship, we can leave and open the door to the colony.
There!
Let's move. The corridor looks deserted, but keep alert. And be prepared to set your blaster on kill if necessary.
There is only a kill setting, sir.
What do we do when we want to stun someone?
We hit them on the head with the gun.
Good to know. According to the blueprint, this door leads to the rec room. Let's open it. Nancy, it's a colonist. Stun him!
Commander, was that really necessary?
You saw those missiles, cadet.
I know, but the colonist is bound and gagged.
I see your point. I think I see something unusual. Nancy, turn on the lights.
The lights are on, sir.
Look, Nancy, the room is full of colonists, all bound and gagged.
So, they're not renegades after all.
Not unless they're very bad ones. No, I'd say they're hostages, Nancy. But whose hostages?
Hello, I'll be your alien invader this evening.
It's the evil Prince Barkata. What villainous scheme has he hatched for our heroes this time? Find out in the next exciting chapter of...
Blast Off Patrol!
2 Minute Danger Theater is written and produced by MJ Butler. Starring Curtis Eames, Ryan Thomas Johnson, and me, I have an open marriage. Chows of the year 1999 with Space Commander Cosmo Ranger and Cadet Nancy, members of the...
Blast Off Patrol!
In the continuation of our adventure, Ranger and Nancy are on the moon investigating the disappearance of the moon colonists when...
I think I see something unusual. Nancy, turn on the lights.
The lights are on, sir.
Look, Nancy, the room is full of colonists, all bound and gagged.
So, they're not renegades after all.
Not unless they're very bad ones. No, I'd say they're hostages, Nancy. But whose hostages?
Hello, I'll be your alien invader this evening.
Prince Markata, I should have known.
And he's brought at least 12 Martian guards with him.
Yes, I've been monitoring your activity on the moon with great amusement.
So what's your game this time, Markata?
Oh, I don't know. I was thinking that perhaps I'd destroy the Earth.
Nancy, do you see what's happened? Markata has mistaken the moon for the Earth. Okay, you win, Markata. You can destroy this Earth and its people. Just let me and Nancy go.
I know this is the moon, you idiot. I have taken it over to position my missiles for attack.
I see. Good of you to tell me your plan. I don't suppose you'd also like to tell me how I could stop you.
Why not? You pose no threat to me. The missiles are guided by a navigational computer I've installed in this very room. If you destroy it, I won't be able to launch my attack.
It's very considerate of you to give me this information. Are there any other secrets you'd like to share?
Yes. I'm so convinced that you do not pose a threat that, even though I'm heterosexual, I'm willing to tell you the secret to pleasuring me sexually.
No. Actually, I don't think that will be necessary.
First, you wet your index finger and use it to make slow, circular motions around my left nipple. Then you wet your...
What makes you think I won't use this information to stop your attack? Or, for that matter, to pleasure you sexually?
Because you only have moments to live. Guards, use your blasters to stun them.
What villainy does Markata have in store for Ranger and Nancy? Find out in the next exciting chapter of...
Blast Off Patrol!
2 Minute Danger Theater is written and produced by MJ Butler. Starring Curtis Eames, Ryan Thomas Johnson, and me, I'm Lance Baxter. Chows of the year 1999 with Space Commander Cosmo Ranger and Cadet Nancy, members of the...
Blast Off Patrol!
When we last left our story, Ranger and Nancy were on the moon investigating the disappearance of the moon colonists when they discovered Prince Markata had taken over.
Why have you kidnapped the colonists, Markata?
Because I needed the moon to position my missiles for attack.
And what would you be attacking?
The Earth.
And where would these missiles be?
I grow impatient with your inability to track this discussion. Guards, use your blasters to stun them. I suppose you'd like to ask why I've put you and Nancy in an airlock.
I was going to wait to see if it came up naturally during the conversation.
It's because I'm going to open the airlock door, exposing you both to the vacuum of space.
Great. Once we're outside, we can make a run for the rocket ship and find a way to stop you.
I don't think you understand. Being exposed to the vacuum of space is a very nasty business. All breath will be instantly pulled from your lungs and you will have 10 to 15 seconds of consciousness. Your skin will be exposed to solar radiation, including infrared, ultraviolet, Number one, he doesn't know enough about physics to be frightened.
Sir, might I suggest... Introduce a day.
Good idea. In addition to what I've said, there will also be man-eating space sharks.
Space sharks! Damn you, Markata!
Now that you're appropriately frightened, I shall leave you to your fate. Goodbye, Ranger.
Sir, do you have that device the professor gave you? It may be our only hope.
Of course. I think I have it in my pocket. Here it is. The time of our death is 3:27.
Not the digital watch, sir. The teleporter.
Oh, that. Oh, I left it on the ship.
Sir, the airlock door is opening!
Forget about me, Nancy. Save yourself!
But we're in the same predicament!
Oh, can I forget about you and save myself?
No, sir. When that door finishes opening, we'll both be blown out onto the surface of the moon.
Almost there.
Is this the end of Ranger and Nancy? Will they die in the vacuum of space or be eaten by space sharks? Find out in the next exciting chapter of...
Blast Off Patrol!
2 Minute Danger Theater is written and produced by MJ Butler, starring Curtis Eames, Ryan Thomas Johnson, and me, I'm Julie, your cruise director. For more of the show, visit DangerTheater.com.
You are listening to audio drama in a darker shade at DarkerProjects.com. And now our feature presentation.
Artemis, Artemis, Luna.
By these names and many others they call me. Aeons have passed since we last spoke, Pale Man.
It seems like only yesterday I gazed into the striking wonder of your eyes, Luna.
When one of your family comes with flattery, my first thought is to put an arrow to the string.
A just reaction, I'm sure. However, it is not on my behalf that I have sought you out.
Is it possible that you have finally succumbed to lunacy, Pale One? That you should show mercy or concern for another? Surely you have fallen under a powerful enchantment.
No, I'm fine, thank you. I speak on behalf of the son of the Blood Moon Clan of Werewolves.
Ah, yes. My children of the woods. They sing so sweetly in their devotions to me.
Yeah, well, one of the choir is looking to take up a solo career, and his clan now want to kill him. I was wondering if you might use your influence to change their minds.
What cause do they have to hunt their own?
Oh, he broke a law, nothing serious. Just fell in love with the wrong girl. Kids these days, you know.
The law is their sacrament to me, Pale Man. To intervene would cause them to question their faith.
And faith is your drug of choice.
I cannot help you, Byron.
I understand. Thank you anyway.
My acknowledgement to your family.
And mine to your brother. Like all gods and goddesses, Artemis is sustained by faith. The more devout the believers, the more strength the deity has. A god will never do anything willingly that will undermine that worship. Provided that Chris and her new friend didn't draw attention themselves for another 4 nights, this would have passed by without incident.
Leave him alone! He's done nothing wrong!
Dark Shadow Bitch! Your life is over!
Moments like this, I really wish I wasn't naked. One advantage of what Byron calls my condition is big teeth.
Ah!
Bitch. Literally. Didn't think of that, did ya?
The girl is a night feeder!
Gareth, you dishonor your clan further, being with one of the walking dead.
We only just met. Come, Rack! Break me, if you can!
Yeah. The Pale One.
You picked the wrong place to go trick-or-treating.
Byron? What did you do? Am I moving really fast, or did everything slow down?
A little of both, Chris. I've created some breathing space for everyone to calm down. It's Halloween, and I have no intention of allowing my favorite holiday to be disrupted by squabbling. If I wanted that, I'd be with my family.
I tasted her blood, Byron. I've never tasted anything like it. Like Tabasco sauce and honey.
That's one of the reasons why vampires and werewolves have a long history of animosity, Chris. The blood of the werewolf is very potent and is something of a delicacy in certain undead circles.
She tried to kill me. I should finish her off. And her buddy for dessert.
Now, Chris, there are rules to this kind of engagement. We must remain civilized, so to speak. You cannot be held to blame if someone dies in accordance to the rules. Let me just bring everyone together.
Pale Man, you dishonor the hunt.
Nonsense.
He is prey! This has nothing to do with you!
Oh, you're undead, bitch!
I am not undead. I'm more... mostly alive.
The right of prey was invoked. Now in my territory you hunt. I have given sanctuary to Goreath.
Bah! Your sanctuary will not save him. If you know the law, you will know that he cannot shelter with you for more than one night.
True. But a lot can happen in one night.
I've heard stories of you, Pale Man. None say you can be trusted.
Always bad press. No one ever remembers the good things I've done.
I will leave your sanctuary, Byron. But this is not Chris Sparrow's fight. She should be freed from the hunt.
She has drawn blood! It shall be answered with blood!
Bring it!
Enough! Go now while I still remember patience.
Soon, Goreath.
Thank you, Byron.
Don't thank me. If anything had happened to Chris, you would have wished your brethren had gutted you.
Byron, it's okay. It's as much my fault.
You should learn never to admit fault, Chris. Honesty like that could get you killed in the real world. Inside, both of you. You'll catch your... never mind. Why do I do what, Chris?
Get involved with our lives? Make our problems yours?
Boredom.
What?
You expected some grand statement of universal truth. Really, Chris, the one constant in all creation is boredom. Over a long enough timeline, every sentient being will go stark raving mad without something to occupy themselves.
I guess. I guess I had never thought of it like that.
And why would you? Humans live lives like mayflies, one day within which to be born, grow, love, and die. Well, at least that is how you are viewed by my family. It's only when we began to take an interest in the minute details of your blind struggle to survive that we found that, like a microscopic world, your existence is filled with epic quests for meaning, and in many ways mirrors the larger stage of the infinite.
I guess it's all a matter of perspective.
That would depend on your perspective.
What will happen to Gareth?
If he runs fast enough and gives up the only world he has ever known, then he can live the rest of his life as an outcast, cut off from so much of what makes him a werewolf.
Or he can fight and die.
And in doing so, regain all the honor he has lost. Blood cleanses shame. It is the law.
Do you think he knows Amy is pregnant?
Well, that's interesting.
I tasted her blood. It sings to me of the new life forming inside her.
And does the lyric sheet include the name of the composer?
Goreath. Why would she be so desperate to hunt down and kill the father of her child?
Remember I told you of the laws of blood. The eugenics of werewolf bloodlines is the most sacred law. Matings are arranged by careful consideration of the potential offspring. If a werewolf mates outside the choosing, the mother is killed.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What?
Werewolf law states that the female is the keeper of the future of the people. If a female shows she cannot be trusted with the guardianship of their heritage, then she is not worthy of being the host of that future, and she is executed.
That's awful.
It's the perfect solution to a grave problem. The lineage is all. It must be preserved at all costs.
But they kill an innocent.
Again, a matter of perspective. Tonight, Gareth is safe. Tomorrow, he must run or fight.
I have brought trouble into your lives. I will now leave before I make it worse.
Gareth, wait.
No longer. You have a long journey ahead of you.
But...
I hate long goodbyes. Goodbye, Gareth.
Goodbye, Byron. I will speak of your honor to all who would question it.
It's really not necessary.
Goodbye, Chris. I hope you... get better. Or something.
Byron, this is so not fair.
Why should it be? Perfect time for breakfast.
Cook me some eggs.
Cook your own bloody eggs.
Rip your dead heart out!
Are you sure you should be trying to kill me in your delicate condition?
Our cubs hunt your kind for this sport.
Try Little League. I don't want to hurt you. Byron told me what will happen if they find out Gareth is the father.
He must die! My child will live! Gareth must die!
But it's not fair. You can't sentence him to death because of your stupid laws.
If not him, then my life is forfeit. My child's life is forfeit.
I cannot.
You cannot hope to understand. You who were once human.
Chris! Amy! Leave her out of this. It's me you want.
My fight with her is done. I will face my own cleansing with bright eye.
She's pregnant with your child, Gareth. Byron says...
No. Amy.
I am unworthy to bear the future of the clan. I have shamed you. I have shamed my foremothers.
Who else knows of this?
The quickening has not yet come. I have kept the moon sickness hidden.
We can flee together. We can find a place where they'll never find us.
I can never raise your child as an outcast. It would tear him apart to be alone under the moon.
A son?
I am certain.
Gareth. Amy. I am so sorry.
This is a marsh of our own making. There is no honor in wondering at why we sink into the bog now.
There is still time. Return to the clan with Rack. Be bound to him. The child will come and be praised and recognized as his.
I cannot!
You must! You must live. Our child will live. You will know the truth. And that is all that is important.
Gareth, no!
It is done. The prey has fallen.
the clan will sing your honor, Rike.
Now we return this dead flesh to the earth.
No! The hunt is over. She has the protection of the Pale Man. Leave her be.
As you desire. Come, we have a long run ahead of us.
She alone shall know the truth.
It is a particularly human trait to want to shape the world in your own image. They struggle to change that which has always been, as if their opinion matters in some way. It's another absurdity of human existence, and one which I find rather endearing.
You have been listening to the Byron Chronicles, A Code of Conduct, Part 2, written by Paul Mannering. Featured in the cast were Damaris Mannering, Amanda Fitzwater, Laura Post, Jim Barber, Seth Adam Scher, and David Ault as Byron. The series is created and produced by Eric Busby. Post-production by Paul Mannering. The executive producer for Darker Projects is Eric Busby. This has been a Darker Projects production.
You just heard the Byron Chronicles, Episode 5, Code of Conduct, Part 2, created by Darker Projects. Before that, we had episodes 1 through 5 of 2-Minute Danger Theater's Blast Off Patrol, Menace on the Moon. For more info and episodes of these series, visit darkerprojects.com and outcastmultimedia.com/dangertheater. You're listening to Midnight Audio Theater on WCBE 90.5 FM Columbus, broadcasting from Levesque Tower and streaming over the web at wcbe.org. Next up, more audio drama with another episode of Twin Stars.
Twin Stars, a science fiction audio adventure drama starring Greg Nugent as Imperial Naval Officer Albert Tyson and Melissa D. Johnson as the space pirate Zhang Ping'an. Two figures on opposite sides in a battle for the destiny of mankind's first Empire of the Stars. Also starring
River Canoff as Solantro,
April Sadowski as Grace,
Gareth Bowley as Foster,
Kimlin Tran as the announcer and the bartender,
with Fiona Thrale as Lady Whitcomb, and River Canoff and Abner Cenaries as the rich young gentleman. Tonight's episode, Society.
Ping'an! Hey! Ping'an! Over here!
Cilantro! Hey, buddy! How you doing?
Not too bad. Long time no see, girl. Dang, you are built. Where you been working out?
Pulling some heavy G's, man. Up in space, you gotta keep fit or your ass gets big. You know what I'm saying?
I hear ya. That all you got? That bag? No luggage or anything?
Nope. Just me and my bag.
Then let's hit the road. I wanna be back in Castle City for dinner. I told Grace you were coming, and she's making her best pasta.
Aw, man, you didn't have to.
Hey, you're my friend, mi casa, su casa.
Thanks, Sol. I really owe ya. Sorry for the short notice.
Don't worry about it. You and me go way back, right?
Yeah, way back.
So why are you here? Finally get yourself a decent job and settle down? No way. I could never see you tied to a desk. That would be
crazy. Ping'an's journal, day 183, year 27-18. Well, I've finally gone and done it, and there's no going back now. Not that I ever planned to go back, but the reality of the whole thing is jumping up to hit me in the face this time. I'm on the Imperial Capital World, New Wellington, and I'm going to meet face to face with the head of the Polyvirus Corporation. Part of me wants to turn around and run like hell, but this is what I've worked for so long, and I can't stop now. I've got the information from our pirate clan's raid on the Evergreen Supply Depot tucked away in my bag, and I was lucky. Polyvirus has been a bunch of bad ladies, and I've got enough dirt to sink their whole ship in the right hands. Now I just have to see what they're willing to pay to keep those hands from getting a hold of it.
He just drove away right after he scratched my paint. Can you believe it? I said, can you believe it? Hola, Ping, you listening to me?
What? Oh yeah, I'm listening. Sorry.
Ping, you're such a liar. It's okay. Grace always says I talk too much anyways. You enjoying the view, eh?
It's amazing. I've been here, what, a half a dozen times, and I still can't get over this place. A whole world of islands floating on a sea of clouds.
Nah, don't worry about it. It still takes my breath away, and I live here. Watching the sun set into the sea of clouds like that is like a dream from when we were kids in the Testor mining colonies.
Tell me about it. And the scale of this place. It's a gas giant. I mean a giant. That people can live in the oxygen layer is astounding.
Three cheers for gravitic tech, huh? Well, everyone wants to live here, so good thing we got all this room. You ever think of settling down, Pei?
Nah. I was born in space, and I've never felt at home anyplace else. Still, if I were going to settle down, this would be a good place to do it. When the time's right.
When's that gonna be, sexy? When you conquer the galaxy?
Maybe, buddy. Maybe.
Come this way. Lady Whitcomb will see you now.
Yes, I want him reprimanded and the entire team docked 3 weeks' wages from their final bonus. They should have been paying closer attention. I want progress, not careless mistakes. Foster, have the cafe send me another glass of Tarisian champagne.
Yes, madam. Madam, before I do, this young lady is your lunch meeting.
I know who she is, Foster. I'm old. I'm not senile. Now, leave us. And Emily, cancel my 4 o'clock. We'll speak again when I'm done eating. Goodbye. There now. You have the 2 minutes until my wine comes, young lady. So make good use of them.
I want you to give me a ship. If you don't, I have information that will burn your company down around you.
Succinct, direct, and to the point. I like that. The answer is no. Now, is there anything else?
You saw the files. I have enough to see half of your executives up on charges. I also have proof you've been using your company's money as your own personal bank account.
Well, that was good work, I will admit it. Did you do it all by yourself?
Oh, I had help. Help that will take action if you try anything.
Viola Smith, you mean? Your friend who helped you hack into Commander Taylor's private files? Oh, come on, dear. You think in 200 years no one has tried this before? Please assure me you can be more original than this. My intelligence network extends quite far indeed, although I will admit this ship request is a new one. Why do you want it? Some piece of hardware to impress your pirate friends, perhaps?
No, I need it to face down the Imperial Navy.
Now that is original. Are you a rebel, then?
No, an opportunist. I see opportunity coming, and I want to be able to seize it. Chaos favors the brave.
You've accessed my book.
All of them. I wanted to know who I'd be dealing with.
And what did you learn about me?
Your wine is coming.
So it is. Answer my question before you leave.
I learned you and your sisters built Polyvirus from the ground up during a market crash. You saw when opportunity was coming. You prepared, and you grabbed it. It's the story of your life, and how a girl from a small suburb became one of the most powerful women in the Empire today.
You want to be me?
No, I want to be better.
To accept an idol means to accept inferiority, is it?
Something else I learned from you.
I had no idea I had such a diligent student. Good day, Miss Shang.
Good day, Lady Whitcomb.
Shall I have her dealt with accordingly, madam?
Let me think about it, Foster. Let me think about it.
Grace, don't forget it's our turn to send lunch for Louis's teacher tomorrow.
Don't worry. I made some extra pasta tonight just for her.
Louis's teacher keeps commenting on Grace's pasta, asking when she'll send more.
You're sending lunch for his teacher. Why?
Well...
It's a bribe. The teachers make the parents give them favors or money, or they won't pass the students.
Grace!
Why not? It's true, isn't it? The teachers hold the fate of the students in their hands, so they can squeeze as much money from the families as they can.
What? How can they get away with something like that?
It's the way it is here. Everyone just worries about themselves, how to make themselves rich.
Before, it was bad. But recently, it's become especially hard. Since the death of the Emperor, everything is crazy. Nobody believes in anything right now, not even money. Everyone's hoarding things for tomorrow. The boxes in our spare room? That's food and water. Everyone has emergency stores like that now.
I saw them. That's smart, though, isn't it? But you'll get through somehow. Everyone's in the same boat, right?
No, everyone. The nobles are fine. If anything happens, they'll just leave, go someplace else. They don't care about what happens to the rest of us. They play their games and leave the rest of us to rot.
It's your own fault.
What? How can you say that?
You let them rule you. You did it because it was easier than ruling yourselves. No matter how far humans progress, we're always still a bunch of lazy animals. The nobles took away the responsibility, and humanity just rolled over and played dead.
But what could we do? They're so powerful. What are we to do, rebel against them?
You could have asked. That's all you needed to do. Ask for power. They're, what, 2% of the population? How could they say no if the rest of you demanded change? But you didn't, did you? You just let them keep on doing what they wanted until they'd taken things too far. Now where are you? If the teachers are corrupt, how far does that mean society has fallen? They reflect the world around you, the same as all of you do.
How would you know, Ping? You ran away. We needed you, and you ran off to wherever instead of staying at Tester and fighting. Where were your words then, huh? Where were your ideals when we were dying?
What was I supposed to do? I was a wanted criminal by the Tester government. Was I supposed to stay and rot in jail for serving my people? What good would that have done them?
You would have been freed. The amnesty was put out as soon as the Imperials left.
How was I supposed to know that would happen? Did you know? Is that why you stayed?
I stayed because my family meant something to me.
Cilantro!
Well, my family was dead. So I guess it wasn't a problem I had, was it? Thanks for the meal. I'll get my things and find a hotel.
Ping-Ong, wait!
It's okay, Grace. I'll be in touch when things cool down. Played that one well, didn't you, Ping-Ong?
Excuse me, Miss Sang?
Hmm? Hello, Foster. Brought friends, I see.
I have been sent to get you.
Don't you mean to bring me in?
No, Lady Whitcomb's instructions were quite clear. You are to return with us, but you are not our prisoner, only our guest.
And if I don't want to come?
Then we will let you pass.
All right then, let's see what the lady wants. Nice cloud yacht.
Lady Whitcomb greatly enjoys sailing. She considers it relaxing.
Where are we going?
We're meeting a cloud liner. Her ladyship is already there, and she's requested your presence as well. After you.
What's in here?
You have no need to be suspicious. Her ladyship's intentions toward you seem quite sincere. Inside are your clothes for this evening. You'll need to change.
Really? What's the occasion?
You're attending a formal ball for some of the richest people in the Empire.
She's not afraid I'll embarrass her in front of her friends?
I'm afraid her ladyship has little taste or respect for most of those in attendance, so it matters little. Now, after you.
I look like something you eat at one of those afternoon tea places.
Given the looks you're getting from some of the gentlemen, I believe they might agree with at least part of that statement.
Ugh! Why is my top cut so low?
It's the fashion this year.
Ah, I thought I'd forgotten to put something on. Good thing it's warm in here.
This way, then. Her ladyship is waiting.
Pick Rogerson for the team head, then. He's got the most experience, will be the least amount of trouble. What? He wants a raise. Fine, then. 15% and not a credit more, and tell him I'll be expecting results. Now, send me those reports by midnight and I'll be in touch. Goodbye. Foster, you're late.
Sorry, madam. It won't happen again.
See that it doesn't. You may go.
Yes, madam.
Ping An, please sit.
Don't blame Foster. It was me taking my time that made us late.
I know. Foster and I have been at this for longer than you've been alive, child. He's closer to me than most of my husbands were. The wine in front of you is yours. One drop of it is worth more than this liner. So enjoy it while you can.
How can a drop of wine be worth so much?
Because it's worth what people need it to be worth, my dear. No matter how rich you get, there's always someone willing to offer you things to spend your money on that no one else can have.
Then I'll pass. I'd rather not taste something that I can never have again.
Very practical. However, I thought you were the one who planned to become richer and more powerful than myself. If you did, that glass would mean as little to you as it does to most of the people here.
My plan hasn't changed, but I'm not going to get used to luxuries before I can afford them with my own pocket money. Why did you invite me here?
You wanted to enter society. Here it is. What do you think of it?
This isn't society. This is people with more money than brains playing their games while the world burns down around them.
Perhaps. However, this is where we are now, in a room filled with the most elite and the most eligible young people in the Empire. Even the most feeble-looking youth out there is worth more than a world's GDP in a year.
If you want me to have even less respect for them than I did before, you're doing a great job.
Not at all. I invited you here because I know you don't understand them. To you, they're an object of derision, but you don't really know who they are or what they're like. If you're going to carry out your little campaign, where do you think it will end? Wars don't last forever. There's a point where every conflict must turn into a battle of politics and resources. Those require allies with both.
I'm a pirate. Do you really expect me to be so civilized?
You're no more pirate than they are. In fact, you and they have more than a little in common, don't you?
Get to the point.
You, young lady, are going to drink that glass of very expensive wine in front of you and go out and play my niece for the evening. You're going to have fun and forget yourself for a time. Let the men chase you and let the women admire you, or the opposite if you prefer. Show me you can handle yourself like a lady.
A lady of the evening?
If you like. However, I do expect to see you enjoy yourself. Remind an old lady of what it was like to be young, won't you?
Right. Fine. Here's to your health, your ladyship. Whoa! That is good stuff.
There. That wasn't so hard, was it? Now, your admirers await. Yes, it was good to speak with you again, General. Please give my regards to your husband. Oh, I thought he'd never leave.
Another drink, my lady.
No, thank you. I'll be up half the night as it is. How's our girl doing?
Well, madam, at first I'd almost believe she was getting into things. She moved around, she talked, she flirted with a number of people.
Oh? Is something wrong?
After a time, I began to notice a certain familiar pattern to her movements. She would speak to one, and then when they had their back turned, she would begin to flirt with another.
Oh my. Really? Have there been any altercations?
So far, 6 men and 4 women have stepped outside to settle matters of honor over her. Well, she seems quite determined to eliminate as many nobles as she can. I'm afraid if we leave her in this party much longer, a riot may break out.
Amateur. In my day, I could have had twice as many duels over me by now. Still, she does show promise, does she not?
As you say, your ladyship.
How dare you intrude on my affections?
Oh, please! It was nothing, really!
Now you have made her cry. You, sir, shall come with me outside, where we will settle this like men.
Outside? Afraid to face me with witnesses, are you?
Why, you! Ah!
Oh, pathetic. With swordplay like that, no wonder your father couldn't keep his mistress faithful.
I'll make you eat those words!
Bartender, another glass of wine.
Coming right up, miss.
Oh, thirsty work. Oh. I wonder if her ladyship is still glad she brought me.
May I have the honor of toasting with you, young lady?
Are you looking for my affection, sir?
No, young lady. I'm too old to fight any duels anymore, and love is no longer my life's focus. I merely wanted to compliment you on a fine show. Those poor young people never even knew what hit them.
You'll drink, madam.
Thank you. And thank you too, Sir Knight.
You are most welcome. Sir Fawn, at your service.
Ping An.
If you don't mind me saying so, Ping An, I saw you sitting with Lady Whitcomb. Are you connected with her?
She's my aunt. Do you know her?
Oh, yes. She and I go back some time. We've played more than a few games with each other, and I have to admit that more often than not, I was the loser. The lot of men, is it not, to lose a beautiful woman?
She's something, all right.
A word of advice, dear girl. Before you play with her too much, be careful you know what you're getting into. She doesn't gamble often, and when she does, she hates to lose.
I'll remember that. Thank you.
A tip for the evening's entertainment. Good evening to you, Ping An.
Miss Shang, her ladyship sends a message for you.
Good evening to you too, Sir Fawn.
Old troublemaker. Don't let him bother you, miss. He's always trying to stir something up.
No, don't worry, I won't. Where's Lady Whitcomb?
She's left for the evening, but she asked me to give you this room access code. You'll be staying in one of the ship's suites.
Oh, thank you. You said there was a message?
Yes. She wanted me to tell you that she expects to discuss business with you at 10 a.m. sharp aboard her yacht.
Thank you, Foster.
You're welcome, miss. Good night, then.
Good night. Yes!
Flight 652Y for the Bradford Rhines Orbital Transfer Station will be leaving in 10 minutes from gate 3041. Will all passengers please proceed to boarding?
Look, Ping.
Hey, buddy. What did I say? It's over, okay? Don't worry about it.
I'm just sorry, all right? We're all a little on edge around here, and I just let my mouth run off.
Cilantro, you are like my brother. Family does stupid things. And family forgives, okay?
I love you, Ping.
You too, buddy.
Did your trip here go okay? I never got to ask you about it. You said it was business you were trying to do.
Oh, yeah. It was a little rough at first. But by the end, it went great.
Did you get everything you wanted?
And more, buddy. And more.
Twin Stars, Book 1, Episode 5, Society. With special guest appearance by David Ault as Sir Fawn. Opening music, Beyond Infinity by Peter Chen. Closing music, Victorious Day by Maestro Rage. Other music found on the Newgrounds.com audio portal and the Apple iLife Jingles Collection. Sound effects found on the Freesound Project and Soundsnap.com. This show and all its characters within are copyright 2008 Robin Patterson. All rights reserved. This adventure and more can be found at KungFuActionTheater.com. Kung Fu Action Theater. Audio. Action. Adventure.
Log of Acting Captain Albert Tyson, Imperial Year 27-18, Day 210. The Crystal Leaf is en route to the Hephaestus system to deliver an emissary to the summit to be held there in 2 days' time. Admiral Veers has entrusted me with this mission and has given me command of the ship by my own request. After the incident on Federin, I wanted people I could trust for such a sensitive mission, and the Leaf was sitting in a space dock without a captain. The crew was surprised to see me, to say the least, but they are eager for action, and they're glad to be moving again. I can't say I blame them. I'm a little tired of planet-side life myself.
Amateur. In my day, I could have had twice as many battles over me by now. Oh no. Duels. Battles. Wars.
And that was Twin Stars Episode 5, Society, produced by Kung Fu Action Theater. For more information and episodes, visit KungFuActionTheater.com. And now, as promised, the results of our scriptwriting competition. This past summer, we asked you to write and send us your original scripts, with the winning entry to be produced and aired on Midnight Audio Theater. Well, the judges have chosen, and the winner of our first annual scriptwriting competition is... Ooh, real drum roll. Nice. Will Anderson from Mount Pleasant, Michigan. Congratulations to Will on your script, Take Your Daughter to Work Day. We'll be producing your story and showcasing it on this show in the next coming months. And to everyone who submitted their stories to the competition, thank you very much, and keep creating, keep thinking. This may be our first scriptwriting competition, but hopefully will not be the last one. So stay tuned. You've been listening to Midnight Audio Theater on WCBE 90.5 FM, Central Ohio's NPR station. That said, we've run out of time for tonight. But be sure to check back in next week for more audio drama. Same bat time, same bat channel. I'm Kathy Rinella. Thanks for tuning in. BBC World News is up next.
Mind characterized by abstraction and release from reality. Dreamcatcher, an audio drama exploring the worlds of dreams and those who travel within them.
Are you familiar with all the players involved?
That's Brian, Susan, and I'm...
Ashley, you don't even... Hey, get back here!
Not a time traveler, but a dream traveler, actually. I'm an Onirnaut.
Call this a dreamscape. What is that exactly?
Onirnauts, plural? There's more of you out there?
My master is calling.
Alan, wait!
You need one Onirnaut, and you've already started recruiting? How many did you bring back?
What's going on?
They're getting away, that's what!
There's something strange about
it. I have to go. I don't know why, I just do.
You are not!
Gabriel, stop it!
You got me to guide you.
Oh, you think being here with you makes that much of a difference?
Naturally. If I wasn't helping you guys out, you'd be lost or dead by now.
We are lost.
Well, I mean, more so than we are right now.
Right.
Hang on!
All this and more from Dreamcatcher, an original audio drama series available at dreamcatcheraudio.com.